Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Boy, there couldn't be more volatile events going on in the world today than there are. Three big ones that Jimmy and I are going to chat about. Obviously, the first one is Zelensky and his speech to Congress, and also his meeting with Biden, which I thought was very, very interesting. And we're going to talk about the Arizona trial, which is looking even more interesting, and the number of people from official government agencies who are now getting involved with Facebook and Twitter. Let's talk first a little bit about the situation with Zelensky when he came over to the United States and how he was met. He was met, obviously, by President Biden and his wife, and I thought it was kind of odd that his wife was there. In meetings like this, I'm not sure how appropriate that is. I mean, maybe Biden was just trying to make Zelensky feel warm and fuzzy, but it just kind of doesn't feel right to me when Biden brings his wife to something like that. And then I watched the conversation between Biden and Zelensky, and what I thought was odd about that conversation, something to think about, is that he read everything off of a piece of paper. He being Biden, it was not a free exchange just out of his brain, period. It was more of an exchange of something that somebody else had written, and Biden was very obviously simply reading what that was. Jimmy, what did you think?
Well, Jill Biden is clearly Joe Biden's handler.
Yeah.
She is ensuring that he doesn't make any major faux pas, that he walks in the right direction, that he doesn't stray from the narrative that they're, you know, to protect the view that somehow he's competent.
Yeah.
So that's one piece of it. And then, of course, you know, the notes that, you know, he can't talk off the cuff. If
no.
He does,
right,
he gets in a, you know, he really, really puts the world in a dangerous situation, especially as we go through this this unbelievable continuation of funding for an absolutely dastardly war with little accountability,
yeah,
and with no strategic endpoint identified by anybody at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not comfortable with the whole situation between Jill and Joe. I'm really not. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that she is basically probably in situations like that. I think that she does take the role of a handler, and that's not right for a country like the United States to have that type of situation, Jimmy.
No. So historically, Joe Biden has got a volatile temper. There's been, you know, quite a bit of discussion about it. And then there's been more discussion just recently with,
yep,
the Tara Reid direct explanation, detailed explanation of what happened. She did a show with, I think it was Tucker Carlson's Daily Show on Fox Nation. And she described the incident in great detail of where he, you know, basically assaulted her while she was working as an intern in his office,
yeah,
back in the 90s. And then his response and his anger when she basically, you know, was completely horrified with what happened. That's consistent with other discussions that he's a nice guy publicly or, you know, personally,
yeah,
on the outside, but very angry and bitter on the inside.
Yeah.
So in order to manage him in a circumstance with other people, it would be difficult for someone outside of his direct family, you know, outside of Jill, to actually manage it, because he may snap. And we've seen this happen numerous times with people on the campaign trail and then on videos with visual evidence of it with reporters since he's been president.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important thing from their perspective, to keep him in check. And there's probably very few people that can do it, with the exception of Jill. He probably depends on her very much for this.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad, as I said, and I don't mean to keep repeating myself.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, and that's the best way to put it. Well, nothing has really been resolved as of, what is it, it's 10:15 on Thursday morning on the West Coast. Nothing has really been resolved in terms of U.S. involvement with the Ukraine, but I think it will be resolved probably within a couple of days. Where do you think it's going to go? Are we going to give them a lot of money? Are we going to give them weapons? Are we going to send troops over, Jimmy? What are we going to do?
Well, it looks like we have committed to Patriot missile systems. Patriot missile systems are very sophisticated systems, require a wide level of support, and very unlikely that they would be given directly to Ukrainian forces without U.S. technicians and U.S. military personnel manning those systems. They're too sophisticated, and there's too much technology involved that would be transferred to them. So the likelihood of American military personnel going with these Patriots is high, in my view.
Okay.
Certainly, if not military personnel, American contractors to operate and manage and protect the software and some of the data with the Patriot systems. We're going to continue to fund them in spite of, you know, a lot of Americans saying, what the heck is going on? And with that, because there's no clear end state to this, right? There's no discussion.
Not right now.
Negotiations.
No, right now. There's none.
There's no Biden strategy on how this ends. All there is the Defense Department under basically a failed general, General Austin, saying we're going to just attrit the Russians down to nothing. Well, I mean, sadly for all sides, everybody's being attrited down to nothing. It's being, you know, it's absolutely devastating. You know, and I'm going to go back. There's no, you know, the person that did this was Vladimir Putin. He started this process, and now he's having to face the consequences of 10 months of continuation of the war. So it looks to me like it's going to go on for a period of time. There's just, you know, the winter is not going to, there's not going to be some great offensive operation in the next few months that will change the outcome for the Russians. The Ukrainians, on the other hand, may have a few advantages as they get more control of their airspace, continue to have this massive flow of equipment, arms, money, humanitarian aid coming in from the from Western, you know, governments, from NATO and other, and the U.S. There is pressure right now in Senate. You know, that this omnibus package that went before, that the Senate approved, and I believe 21 or 22 Republicans actually signed on to it, full of pork, full of, you know, terrible, terrible policy funding issues. That's under pressure right now, and it looks like it's being stalled, and they may have to do a short continuing resolution, a funding package to get them through the holidays so they can come back into office and actually get something done, which in my view is a very, very good possibility, a good outcome. If they stop this omnibus bill and basically gave the Democrats pretty much everything they wanted. And of course, gave Zelensky everything he wanted as well. $54 billion, I believe, is what was in that package.
Yeah.
So questioning that's important. Yeah.
So you're guessing basically that probably this thing, in terms of escalation, we will go as far as Patriot missiles. And other than that, how effective in bringing some kind of conclusion to this violence are the Patriot missiles going to be, Jim?
Well, the Patriot missiles basically take the capability of long-range Russian bombing and their heavy cruise missiles to attack deep targets in Ukraine, or at least some of them, and they can put them in key infrastructure areas. Now, you can't draw down. You can't put a large number of them because there's too many requirements for Patriot systems around the world, and of course for U.S. defense. And we've got, you know, potential problems clearly in Asia with China, Taiwan, and other potential problems. So there'll be a limited number. They'll be focused on priority, you know, Russian targets. It does limit the Russian air capabilities and could cost them significantly. Now they've lost a lot of aircraft. With handheld Stingers, with some of the other air defense systems that are provided from the West and some of their own air defense systems.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very tough. I think the biggest problem for Russian forces, they're massing armor in some areas, but their infantry is very limited in capacity and training, especially in bad conditions. So the ability, you lose tanks with light infantry anti-tank weapons, going against light infantry anti-tank weapons, if you don't have infantry to clear those opposing enemy infantry units, that's the reality. And their T-90 tanks, they're very technically, they're high end, they're you know, basically fairly decent tanks, but a lot of them have very sensitive electronics and optic systems, and in bad weather, that puts them at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So they could lose a large number of their, more of their armor forces. They've lost a lot already. That makes it very, very difficult. So the Patriot system really takes away any air advantage. And unfortunately for Russian forces, it means that they're going to have to face some very difficult ground problems. And yeah, it gives the Ukrainians even a better advantage.
Yeah. Well, I think we summed that up about as well as anybody can. Let's come back to the United States. Got a lot of things going on down in Arizona. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So Carrie Lake, you know, she filed this lawsuit. The judge in that lawsuit, basically against Katie Hobbs and against the Secretary of State and the elections down there, there were 10 points they put forward in their lawsuit. The judge threw out 8 of the 10, but allowed to go forward with the other two. One of them was the actual functioning of the tabulators, and the other one was chain of custody issues.
Yeah.
And yesterday, in the opening events of the trial, most observers have agreed that Carrie Lake's position and her legal position was very effective, that the defense was ineffective. And I actually watched a small clip. I haven't watched a lot of the trial, but I watched a small clip of the defense attorney attempting to entrap one of the specialists that were doing an analysis of chain of custody. And she basically embarrassed the defense attorney as he was trying to embarrass her with rule of law.
Yeah.
It was so... Bottom line is, this could be a watershed moment if, in fact, the judge allows truth, transparency, and these two key areas to go forward. There's a possibility that she could win this and overturn the election there, but that would open the floodgates to questions on the 2022 election and the 2020 election, if, in fact, the fraud is completely identified. And we've been looking for this for a long time. The probability, I think, is... It's still a long shot because, as I say, many people are involved in these corrupt activities. Many judges are afraid to get involved in it. And this is going to take some courage to stand up and stop the corruption out there.
Is that going to happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't got a lot of faith in our system at all right now.
Yeah.
When you see what the FBI has done with the tech companies, when you see what the Department of Justice has done, when you see what the CDC is doing with erasing COVID data and, you know, some of these very, 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 very scary reports on the effects of the vaccines and the government trying to silence those, I just don't have a lot of faith. I mean, it looks very much like we're being overrun with kind of a socialist progressive ideology around the nation right now.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, that was what people were afraid was going to happen, given the fact that the election in 2022 went the way that it did. So that's kind of scary. You got something else you talked about that I really am curious about, Jimmy, and that is that some of the government agencies exemplified by the FBI are beginning to get involved with Twitter and Facebook. What's going on there? That sounds pretty nefarious.
So a reporter from Mint Press, his name's Alan McLeod, he did research, and the Daily Mail has done an extensive report on his research of how many former FBI, CIA, and National Security Council members or Department of Justice people have actually gone to Facebook, Twitter, and Google. And these just aren't in positions of like employment. These people are very high level people involved in actual writing the rules and overseeing disinformation and security for these major corporations. So it appears that you have this nexus between the tech companies and the intelligence agencies through former employees who have risen very highly into high positions into these very incredibly powerful.
How did that ever happen? I am amazed on that one. I'm just flabbergasted in the sense that that is clearly an example of the government agencies overstepping their limits, in my opinion.
Well, you know, these, okay, so you've got to look at it in two ways. How closely connected were these employees with decisions that were taking away First Amendment rights, free speech, in conjunction with their former employers, with the CIA or the FBI or Department of Justice? So there are probably people that took jobs and went over there just because they took jobs and they're decent people and they had experience and they, you know, they retired or they worked for a few years. But the question is, the real question is, how many of these former intelligence officials are still cooperating and working together with the federal government in order to silence information and actually silence American citizens' rights at free speech? Now, we see from the Twitter files that that is very clearly happening. And it looks like the FBI actually paid Twitter about $3.5 million to help them silence some of political opposition to Democratic, basically to Democratic operatives, protecting Hunter Biden, attacking Donald Trump, taking away different voices that they claim, quote, is misinformation. Certainly that was the CDC was involved with that and the Health and Human Services in trying to silence information on COVID. So how many of these people, and there's a lot of them in very senior positions, how many of them are actually functioning to protect Americans' interests and free speech, and how many of them are actually working to protect the government and actually have an ideological bent towards democratic, you know, principles? I would argue there's probably more that are inside that Beltway ideology and have lost contact with the American people and have been trying to silence some of this information out there because of either lack of perception or direct coordination with very senior members of the intelligence community back in Washington. And I think that's it's something has got to change or we will lose this nation.
Give me an example, Jimmy, of what has to change in your opinion.
So there's some discussion, as I mentioned previously, back in the 70s, you know, the left really attacked, you know, the McCarthy era when, you know, they were silencing, you know, communists. It turns out that he was actually, a lot of the people he pointed out were communists, and they were doing things to destroy, attempt to do, you know, undermine American policy.
Yeah.
But then again, there was this great pushback on the left and actually a big push in the 60s and 70s for free speech, anti-war efforts. A lot of it was driven by funding from, you know, the former Soviet Union, from other leftist propaganda efforts. Some of it was just ideologically driven.
Yeah.
That created conditions to go back and review the involvement of the U.S. government in illegal activities with intelligence and military intelligence operations. So they put together what they called the Church Commission. The Church Commission went out, did a very extensive review, and found a lot of these organizations were breaking the law. And then that revamped the entire intelligence community and the way they could operate, because basically they had overreached. People like the CIA or Army Intelligence were operating and looking at American citizens during the protests and the riots in the 60s. So you've got the complete opposite now, where the left is actually protecting these agencies because the agencies are operating on their terms, working for their interests. And what has to happen is a commission put in place, in my view, that takes a very thorough analysis of what has happened. And it has to be a respectable group of people that comes out and makes recommendations and actually charges some of these people that have broken the law and taken away First Amendment rights and put them in jail. And that includes former FBI agents, current FBI agents, current Department of Justice individuals, former Department of Justice individuals involved in the Russia collusion narrative and lies, involved in, you know, silencing Hunter Biden's laptop information, of silencing people off of Twitter and the tech companies. And there has to be some real ramifications for that. And the only way that's going to happen, Al, is if the Republicans have the hearings, they put together a commission in the House that takes this review, that you put enough pressure on the Democrats who are in the middle, not on the extremes, but her in the middle to say this is embarrassing to us, and then go directly after the media, corporate media editors and managers that have been, and tech companies that have been cooperating with the government to take away individuals' freedoms and civil rights. If they don't pay the price for it, this will continue to go on forever.
Yeah, pretty scary.
And we'll lose, and we'll just keep losing. We'll keep losing our rights.
Yeah, pretty scary in my opinion, if you want to know the truth, Jim. It's really scary in the sense that, you know, your opinions are talking about, are basically centered around major changes in the way the federal government works in relationship to, as you say, free speech. And that scares the daylights out of me, Jimmy. You got the final word, bud.
Ideology is the weapon, yeah. And propaganda is the delivery tool. That's how it's put out there. And the government has gotten very much involved in that, and we've got to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't take a lot of people to be very vocal and to change the direction of this nation. But they have to stand up and have courage and be vocal about it.
Of course.
Without violence.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see. Hopefully, as I mentioned in yesterday's editorial, I really abhor violence, and I hope that this thing can be resolved without any of that that type of action. Jimmy, thanks so much. You guys listening, give us some opinions from yourself. We want opinions from everybody, and we will certainly be back tomorrow.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.